Whether you realize it or not, science plays a big part in our everyday lives. This is Lisa Berry, and this coming Saturday, April 22nd, as part of Earth Day, several communities, including here in Washtenaw County, are holding marches for science. And joining us now on 89.1 WEMU to talk about that is Dr. Amy Flanagan and Dr. Catherine Riker, both science-related professors at Eastern Michigan University. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, everybody.
Why are we marching for science?
To raise awareness, really, and just to advocate for the fact that science really is in all of our lives, from the clean air that we breathe, to the water that we drink, to the medicines that we need to take to keep us healthy. All of these things are science-related, and it's important to keep science as a public good, a publicly funded good for all of us.
For us as scientists, one of the other important things is the ability to communicate directly with the community, as well as to legislators who might be using scientific knowledge. So this is what your tax dollars go to support. We want to make it clear what's happening in our labs. What are the kinds of things we're finding out, and how does it shape and influence the community around us?
What's the one thing you think people may not realize, hey, that's science as part of their daily lives?
I think that's everything. I think we often forget how many things around us are influenced by science or scientific discoveries. Everything from the fabric that's in the clothes that you wear to the foods that you eat, the medicines that you take that Amy mentioned before. Even things like the GPS in your car and your cell phone, you know, oftentimes we forget that that's technology that came out of NASA. And so we tend to think about rockets going up and the money that's used to fund that. And we don't remember sort of the day-to-day things that we all use and rely on.
And that's Dr. Catherine Riker, who is an earth science professor at Eastern Michigan University. How about jewelry?
Oh, jewelry everywhere. Right now, I'm wearing several different pieces of quartz. Most of the jewelry, my students will know this, most of the jewelry I have are actually like mini teaching tools, because I'm always wearing something that's geology related, whether it's a micrograph of an agate that I have printed on a scarf, or quartz crystal earrings, or turquoise necklaces. It's pretty much everywhere around us.
I don't think people realize, I went to the Smithsonian and they have that whole jewelry display, and a lot
those
jewels start out as rocks.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
And minerals. And mined minerals. From the earth.
Minerals. Right. Everything comes from the earth. And the phrase in geology is, if it's not grown, it's mined. Anything around you, unless it came from agriculture, ultimately it came from geology.
Who is organizing these marches for science?
The main march is organized out of Washington, D.C. And that grew out of the Women's March in January, right after the inauguration. And so I think conversations around that march about advocating for diversity and inclusivity and making sure that a variety and breadth of voices are heard and respected. Then sort of came this focus on science in terms of making sure that all of the science that is being funded publicly is being communicated publicly, so that everyone has the opportunity to learn from the science that's being done. Funded by tax dollars. Same thing goes for, like with the Environmental Protection Agency and the National Park Services and those sort of public goods. But making sure that all the information that we know about our environment and our earth are publicly communicated.
As scientists, do you think that funding is threatened in Washington right now?
Oh, absolutely. I think funding for science, particularly sort of the fundamental principle scientific research that gets done, is often disconnected from the community, and it can be difficult to relate to or see the immediate value in your life. And it's something that as scientists, we need to do a better job of communicating and having the platform to communicate it through avenues like this, of course. But yeah, I think funding is sort of always one of those things that's difficult for scientists. People have this misperception that science is funded maybe a little bit more than it should be. And the reality is that particularly for organizations like the National Science Foundation, funding rates are often in the very low 20%, if not lower, of projects that are submitted gets funded. And those are projects that are submitted that have been very well organized by principal investigators and so on and so forth, with a lot of thought put into them. And even at that stage, only a fifth of that or less is getting funded.
One of the things I uncovered getting ready for this interview was the quote, science provides knowledge of the universe. Mm-hmm. Do you think science is taken for granted?
I think one of the other pieces that we can consider in this advocacy for science is science education. And it's so often unvalued in schools. It's not represented in national testing. It's often the thing that's pushed aside for math and reading, which of course are hugely important. But science is a really important way of knowing about our world, and it helps us with logic. And it's an important piece for children to be able to understand that our world is knowable and that we can find patterns and things and we can understand why things happen. And that's a very powerful piece of the educational process.
I think most Americans would say that they agree with science. In fact, a lot of Americans will tell you they believe in science, which we would probably push back a little bit on, just that use of the word. But then they start to question the findings a little bit more than maybe the scientists themselves.
I feel smarter just sitting in between Dr. Amy Flanagan-Johnson and Dr. Catherine Riker, both science professors at Eastern Michigan University. Is that rare for women to be in a distinguished science career like you both are?
Well, it's getting less rare, which is a good thing.
I know the number for academic geologists tends to be about 15 to 20% are women. I know that has changed in recent memory. We're fortunate at Eastern Michigan University in that almost half of our department is female. And so that's something that I don't even think our students who are exposed to us sort of realize that that's not necessarily the norm for exposure. But professionally and in terms of the undergraduate population, I think we're getting closer and closer to a 50-50 representation. That's a little bit easier in the or closer to true in the life sciences than it is the physical sciences right now.
You are an earth science professor. I've just thought of a phrase for you. Science rocks.
Science rocks.
Do you ever say that?
Absolutely. Oh, I have so many terrible puns in my classroom. Oh, I take that back.
Terrible.
They are fantastic puns in my classroom. Don't take them for granted. They're very nice.
So we're raising awareness of science coming up on Earth Day this Saturday. Which march will you be in?
My family and I are going to be in Detroit.
Okay. And
then I will be headed to Ann Arbor.
And there is one in Ypsilanti as well.
There is one.
I'm just thinking Washtenaw County.
Yes. I encourage you all to come out and meet a scientist. I think one of the facts that we uncovered getting ready for this interview is that so many Americans cannot name a scientist. And when I say that, I don't mean Albert Einstein
or
Marie Curie. I mean Amy or myself. Who are scientists that you know that are living in your neighborhood? So if you can't currently name a scientist friend, come out and make one at the March for Science.
We'll put the information for you on our website, WEMU.org. And Dr. Amy Flanagan-Johnson and Dr. Catherine Riker, Eastern Michigan University professors, thanks so much for joining us on 89.1 WEMU.
Thank you.
Thank you.